Abilene, Texas. This is your No Spin Bible Zone, where you will hear 25 minutes of straightforward King James Bible 1611, rightly divided preaching and teaching especially. I will use no corrupt modern Bibles or any other authors or famous personality pastors and preachers. No need for the Greek, no need for Hebrew studying, just the simplicity in Christ from a simple King James Bible, a Bible simple enough for all to understand. Well, this particular program is geared for Sunday, so for the next couple Sundays, I think what we're going to do here, I think we'll just go through the entire book of Ephesians. When I say entire book, it makes it sound like it's a long book, but it's not. We all know that it's only got 6 chapters in it, but it is one of the best books, one of the best series of writings that Paul's ever come up with. This is the goodness of God. This is the revelation that the risen Savior gives to Paul. This is beyond fantastic stuff. So I think what we're going to do, I think we will. I think we'll just try to do a chapter a Sunday, and we'll see how these things go. Some of these, like anything I say, I can talk forever on things. We'll see if I can limit each program to one chapter or less. Now, I'm not going to jump all over the New Testament, jump all over the Bible as I read things in Ephesians. The best way to understand these things is to read them, obviously, more than once. Reading through chapter 1 makes more sense to a person if they have read chapter 2, believe it or not. Seems to be backwards, but if you can understand chapter 2, verse 13 to 22, then what he says in chapter 1 will make more sense to you. But yet I'm not going to be jumping all over the place. I'm going to read through the book of Ephesians. I will stop, and I will make some mention of some things, of course. But I'm not going to be flipping all over the place and get everybody all confused with this. When I get done, read it again. Read it again. As you keep reading your Bible, you will see things that were stated someplace else, maybe some things I mentioned, some verses that I didn't. But that's what happens when you read this Bible over and over. Now, I know people have seen movies over and over and over, and if you keep seeing them 4, 5, 6 times, you start to see things you missed the first, second, third time. Same thing with reading. Read a book a couple times. How many of you read a book you've liked so well that you read it 2 or 3 times? Well, this Bible, it's 66 books, but they're not all that terribly difficult to read. The King James Bible was written at a fifth grade level. It's a fifth grade level maybe 20, 30 years ago, because what kids could do in fifth grade, as far as reading levels, high school kids can't do today. Very few college kids and adults, I suppose. So it's still a fifth grade level book. It's not a difficult book to read. Anyway, going through Ephesians, it's kind of funny because Paul writes with some really long sentences. I totally believe that the punctuation is exactly the way God wants it to be. So when you read, for example, verse 15, you'll see a comma, semicolon, colon, comma, 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 semicolon, comma, period. That's one sentence. It's not just individual verses, it's one sentence. So Paul, he certainly doesn't ramble, but he's always praising the Lord when he writes, when he says what he says. So keep that in mind. Now, as we go through chapter 1 here this morning, we're going to look at the will of God. You can learn about the will of God, truth about blessings. We will see the confusion of election and predestination sorted out and cleaned up pretty quickly here. We'll see no better verse on salvation than you find in Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see one of Paul's prayers, and you'll actually see the definition of church. He's going to be talking here about the faithful. If you think about it, we know that we sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, but also we know that Paul is faithful. We see that Timotheus is faithful. God is faithful. Abraham is faithful. Tychicus, he is faithful. The saints of Colossae are faithful. Epaphras is a faithful minister. Your boss, if he's a Christian, should be a faithful master or a faithful boss, doing his leading correctly as a Christian should do. So faithful is quite a good word. We've got to remember, Paul is not out to win the world. He's out to show the Gentiles what Christ has given to them, the mystery that was revealed to him, Ephesians chapter 2, which we'll get into in chapter 3 next Sunday, the next two Sundays. Paul just isn't out there trying to reach everybody. He's just reaching those that are interested. And he says what he says in the towns, and if they don't want to hear it, he dusts his feet and he goes on. He's trying to win his Jews. He's always wanted to win his brethren. But God finally says, you know what, Paul, we got to go on to the Gentiles. And so Paul goes on to the Gentiles. And there's a number of places where Paul realizes nobody wants to hear the crowd, so he moves on. But there's also a couple places where Paul was kicked out of that town, and he goes back to that town later to see how those that were there following Paul, how they're doing. It's a fantastic book to read. So let's just get started here. Chapter 1, Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, there it is, in Christ Jesus. Now that would be you, that would be me today, if you claim the risen Savior as your Savior. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we could stop there, go down a bunny trail of talking about the fact that the blessings that God gives to the Gentiles are spiritual blessings. Remember, Romans, we got to go off a little bit here. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom that Paul's preaching, and we will talk about these two kingdoms here real soon. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It isn't something they can handle and see. It says here, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the blessings that the risen Savior gives to the Gentiles are spiritual blessings. And we have gone down the road in previous programs about why would God give a physical blessing to somebody if it's going to steer them further away? Why would a parent give their kid something if it's going to make them go further apart as kids? We just have to remind ourselves and be remembrance that the blessings that we receive from God are spiritual blessings. They're all listed in Paul's writings, and you can find out what they are. And you know, they are the goodness of God, that he would bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, doesn't that sound like a predestination, like an election verse? Now we have to read this grammatically and correctly. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that's what he's chosen us. He hath chosen us in him that we should be holy and without blame. That's been the plan from the start. It isn't that he chose us to be individually saved. He chose us to be holy and without blame before him in love. And all the different dispensations up to this point have failed at that eventually. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's not that he has predestinated you or me. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That was the plan, that we are going to be adopted of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what predestination is. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that is a good verse right there to understand if anybody is down in the mouth, they're sad, they're frustrated, they're suicidal, or they're just depressed or whatever. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, with that in mind, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Let's look at that rightly dividing verse. Now, we'll have to talk about this again on another day. This is just a Ephesians chapter 1, Sunday morning, a little talk here. But when he said there in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, remember, everything's been made now, has made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted. Now, we go to chapter 2, verse 15 of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a work. Now, stop there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What you find out when you study Paul's books, when you study what risen Savior taught to Paul, you will find out that you are approved. Remember? Took out the law. Right? So we're dead. See? So in God's eyes, we are approved unto him. So when we see in Ephesians, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We don't have to crawl to God and beg for forgiveness for the things that we continue to do, like most altar runners do. We have been made. He's not just accepting us. We have been made. He made us accepted. And we can study this stuff to find out that we are approved unto God. Okay? Verse 7. Here's one of his longer sentences again here. Ready? Big breath. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So there's one sentence. Let's go back and look at that just for a moment here. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of God's will is not should you be a plumber, should you be a teacher, should you be a nurse, should you get married, should you stay single. The mystery of his will is in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. A study of the will of God, which we've done before, haven't done on the radio program yet, a study of the will of God is for us to follow the risen Savior according to Paul's teachings. That's the will of God. And this verse 10 down here, in verse 9, talking about having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So the will of God is to follow the risen Savior. The will of God will be that Paul will show us how the Jews and the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what we will see. If you want to be a plumber, go to plumber school. You want to be a teacher, you want to be a bum, I mean, it's your choice, it's your efforts, it's your money, it's your life. But God's will is for us to follow the risen Savior through Paul, that someday we'll all be in Christ, with Christ, face to face, all the time, which we'll see in chapter 2. Okay, let's get back onto this here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, verse 10, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And to have a study of chapter 2, that would make more sense by if you understand what chapter 2 is teaching. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now here's where your salvation is you're trusting Christ. Verse 13. In whom, referring to Christ, of course, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed to that Holy Spirit of promise. Now the best way to make sense of that verse is to read it backwards. Okay? The gospel of your salvation. You heard the word of truth. That word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. You heard that, in whom also after that you believed. So you believed what you heard. You believed what you heard. You believed what you read in that Bible. And then you trusted Christ. That's as good a salvation verse as you'll ever find in your Bible. In whom also you trusted, as Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you're sealed to that Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice that we are sealed. We talked about the tribulation in the previous programs. They're not sealed. Spirit of God will be upon their flesh, but they won't be sealed. So if things mess up, Spirit of God can depart. were sealed. And then also note the fact that when you heard the word of truth, where do you find the word of truth? If all these Bibles are so different, are any of them the word of truth? Do you have the word of truth? Because if you hear it, it's the gospel of your salvation. And you believe what you heard and you trusted in Christ. And then 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Until we go through the judgment seat of Christ, what we have right now with the Spirit of God, it's the earnest payment. And if you know enough about real estate, earnest payments usually aren't all that big. There's that much more glory and joy and unearthly whatever life beyond all this. We're sealed, but it's just the earnest of our inheritance. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is that long verse again, that long sentence. Just note that Paul is talking to those that have their faith in the Lord Jesus. That's his ministry. Those are the people. He goes to the Gentiles to teach them the kingdom of God. He goes to the Gentiles to teach them what the Jews could have, but they don't. But he spends his teaching time with those who are interested in following him. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, he saw that these Christians were sincere Christians. That's what he was saying here. Do you have any idea what it's like to give a sermon to somebody who's not interested? Or to give a talk, or to teach something that the kids are not interested in. A pastor giving a sermon to the people who are not interested in it, as compared to pastor giving a sermon that the people are enjoying, and they're enjoying chewing what they're hearing, and they get excited. They're growing, and they like that. It's a marvelous thing. So Paul, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, now here's what he says. Here's that long sentence again here. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Defines church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now that's Paul's prayer for us, and we answered his prayer. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. And if we are, you'll know what the hope of his calling is for you, and you'll understand the riches of the glory of his inheritance. I had somebody write to me the other day that when they read where I said in one of my sermons that I can hardly sit still when I'm done doing a sermon, it's such fantastic things that I've learned to talk about these things, it's hard to just sit still and contain what you're reading. And this person said they go through the same thing. Well, okay, good. It is. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Bible, as we call it today. So let's keep going here. Let's go back to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? See, there's that little string attached. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's quite a power to get him to come up from the dead. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over things to the church. Not in the church, head over all things to the church. So, verse 22 explains some things. Hath put away all things under his feet, and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church. But then if we really go to verse 23, we see the word church defined, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, you will find out in Ephesians chapter 5 more about this church and the bride and your wife and the husbands. This is a fantastic book. And really, sit back and just read chapter 1 over and over and over this week if you want to see something start to set in and see your eyes open up towards some things here. And to me, Ephesians chapter 1 is one of the, hate to use the word lesser chapters, but it's not as exciting as 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 coming, even 6. So this is going to even get better, and it's going to grow more exciting as we get into chapter 2. We see in chapter 2, we talk about being quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We see what it was like before we were saved. We see an actual detailed description of more than just being lost. We see a detailed description of what it is to be lost. We talk about things in ages to come, which today we are in those ages that came. So that makes sense. We talk about we are his workmanship. We'll talk about those people that believe that we are made in the image of God, and I keep talking about that today. There's something that they're leaving out. We'll talk about that next Sunday. We talk about what it is that now Christ, where it says in 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We see where Jesus takes on the wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. That's a fantastic chapter, and it talks about all coming together in the end of the fullness of times there at the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3 is a chapter that tells us about Paul's ministry, the revelation that God gave to Paul directly. We see another prayer that Paul prays for his people, which includes us. And we just ask ourselves, are we striving towards those goals? Are we striving towards answering his prayer? We see in chapter 4 some marvelous things. We see one thing, that he's a prisoner of the Lord, because he's writing these while he's in prison. We see the pattern and the plan for the church today. We find out that people are looking at the wrong plan. We'll talk about that in more detail when we talk about the church and churches. We see in chapter 4 what it's like to walk like a lost person, even though you say you're a Christian. The things that can happen to us, not in a chastisement fashion, but just what happens if we stay out of our Bible. We see some things about anger. We see some things in chapter 4 that talk about just day-to-day walk as a Christian. Now, chapter 5, we start getting into husbands and wives and Christ loving the church. What is the church? How is it cleansed? Just interesting stuff that we can actually compare to our personal lives as a husband, as a wife, as a man. We see in chapter 6, he talks about the children. We see about being men pleasers instead of God pleasers. We see things in the armor of God that I'm not sure many people consider when they read about that. So there's a lot of good things coming up in the book of Ephesians. We'll look at it in detail. But until then, we're going to start with chapter 2 next Sunday. You folks have a good day. We'll talk to you Monday morning. Hope you're there. I hope you've enjoyed these things and you're learning some things, or you're being challenged and questioned, which is good. Get out your Bible. Get out your college manuals and check and see if what I'm saying is wrong or right. You're going to find out that it doesn't say what all those other modern books say, but you will see what I say in the King James Bible. That is exactly what it is. That's the Word of God.